That's composer and bandleader Kenny Dorham on trumpet opening Aphrodisia on his 5-star album Afro-Cuban. It was first released in 1955 on 10-inch vinyl and was updated 3 times since that time, in 1957, in 2003, and 2007. Although acclaimed for his prowess as a composer, bandleader, and prolific musician, he always has been referred to in the literature as someone most underrated. Kenny Dorham died of kidney disease in 1972 at the age of 48. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today we're going to be going back to a subject we have discussed a couple of times, but given the events of the weekend, particularly, it's worth revisiting. Landslide victories over Hillary Clinton in Saturday's Democratic primaries in Alaska, Hawaii, and Washington have given momentum, Bernie Sanders says, to his campaign. But where Sanders really needs momentum, and where he needs it the most, that is in winning 2,383 of the party's delegates to clinch the nomination, he's way behind Clinton. And worse, he's showing signs, bad signs, that his promised political revolution inevitably will be a devolution of standard party politics. So we're talking today about why the Sanderistas ought to prepare for a sellout. Is that what's coming? Get the feeling that Bernie Sanders is about, especially as the convention comes along in the summer, he's getting ready to do what we thought he would do. Say it ain't so, Bernie. Here's Bernie Sanders talking over the weekend about his campaign, his win, his landslide wins, and he's talking to Jonathan Carl, ABC's chief White House correspondent. Here's what he says.
Big night.
Thank you very much.
So you won big out there in those 3 states. You're still way behind in the delegate count, but does that What does this mean for the race? Does this mean you are absolutely going through to the end?
Jonathan, what it means is we won 3 landslides last night. We won 6 out of 7 contests in the last 11 days. We've cut Secretary Clinton's lead by a third during that period of time. A national poll just came out that had us 1 point ahead of Secretary Clinton when we started 60 points behind. In every national and state poll that I have seen, virtually everyone has us defeating Donald Trump. CNN had us defeating him by 20 points. Clearly, we have the momentum. And I think at the end of the day, we're going to end up with more pledged delegates than Secretary Clinton. And then I think the superdelegates are going to have to make a very difficult decision. And that is, if a candidate wins in a state by 40 or 50 points, who are you going to give your vote to? And second of all, which candidate is better positioned to defeat Trump or any of the other Republican candidates? I think a lot of the superdelegates are going to conclude that it's Bernie Sanders.
But you still need 73% of the delegates going forward, which is a huge...
No. Well, no, I don't accept that. That is not the case. You're assuming that every superdelegate who now supports Secretary Clinton will stay with her. You're not taking into consideration the fact there are hundreds of delegates, superdelegates, who have not yet made a decision. We think we can win many of them. And what we showed yesterday is, in fact, the momentum is with us. We think we're going to do well in Wisconsin. We think we got a real shot in New York. And then we go out to California. You go out to Oregon. That's the most progressive part of America. We think we're going to do very well there. So I will not deny for one second that we still remain the underdogs. But we have come a long, long way. You will have to concede in the last 10 months. We do have a path toward victory.
You've heard Democrats saying it's time for you to lay off Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, keep this positive now, stop the attacks on her Wall Street ties, her super PAC, all of that. Are you going to start laying off, or are you going to, you know, put the pedal to the metal here?
We've just won six out of the last seven contests. We have the momentum. We won three landslide victories yesterday. And the reason we're doing well is that we are talking about the real issues facing the American people. And campaign finance is one of them. We have raised now 6 million individual campaign contributions, averaging $27 a piece. That's unprecedented in American political history. Secretary Clinton has super PACs. She has raised some $15 million at least from Wall Street, money from the fossil fuel industry and the drug companies. Do I think the American people need to know that? Is that an important issue? I think it is. Our votes on the war. I voted against the war in Iraq. She voted for the war in Iraq. That's an important issue. I am opposed to continuation of fracking. She supports fracking. Those are important issues. That's what a campaign is about. I do not run negative ads. But clearly contrasting my position with Secretary Clinton's is what a campaign is supposed to be about.
So you said in an interview this week that she suggested she may not be liberal enough to be in your cabinet. So let me ask you now, after these wins, is she liberal enough to be your running mate? Would you consider her?
That's speculation. Hillary Clinton is a person who has enormous, I have enormous respect for, has a very distinguished career. We're not into speculation right now. The reason, Jonathan, we are doing so well is we are talking about not speculation, the issues impacting the American middle class, grotesque levels of income and wealth inequality, the decline of the American middle class, the fact that millions of kids are graduating college deeply in debt, the reality that climate change is a global crisis that we have got to deal with and have to take on the fossil fuel industry. Those are the issues that I'm dealing with, not speculating at this point who my vice presidential nominee would be.
All righty. Sounds really good. I mean, Bernie Sanders did win quite decisively in all three states, did very, very, very well indeed. In Washington state, he got 73% of the vote, as opposed to Clinton's 27%. Alaska, 81%, or actually practically 82%. It was 81.6 to Clinton's 18.4. In Hawaii, 70% to Clinton's 30%. This is great, great news. And to be fair, Bernie Sanders has tried to distinguish himself from Hillary Clinton on a number of very important issues. He just delineated some of them. He also has conducted a pretty clean campaign. Great. And he speaks almost reverentially, in a way, of Hillary Clinton, that he has worked with her for 25 years, has great respect for her, and so forth. All this aside, we come back to the question I asked months ago. What is Bernie Sanders going to be doing with these millions of votes? whether he becomes the nominee or does not become the nominee. But if he does become the nominee, we want to know from you, what do you think he will do with these votes? In which direction will he be able to pull the party? Is it even possible to contemplate that he could pull this party in any direction that is akin to what he professes to be his ideology of democratic socialism? And more than likely, because we've discussed that the fix appears to have been in, even as the primary process began, Hillary Clinton had locked up that magic group we call the superdelegates. The superdelegates are those party officials who are very loyal to whom? The party. And being loyal to the party, it is to be expected that that's where they will come down when the time comes to take a vote as to who the nominee will be. In which case, the question still remains. Where will Bernie Sanders put these millions of votes that he would have racked up by that time? Do we press hard now that we should know what Plan B is? It's all well and good to foresee oneself as the victor. That's great. You got to be optimistic. You have to be, especially since he has this momentum, you got to be all positive about your chances of winning. But the math is suggesting that even as he wins the popular vote, he is losing the delegate and the superdelegate vote. And that is because of the Democratic Party's shenanigans. Look, it's happening on the other side of the fence, too. We have none other than Donald Trump threatening to sue the Republican Party over the business of delegates. He is winning, he says. I'm winning. And yet, Ted Cruz is getting delegates that rightfully belong to me. So the delegate process is clearly established now as a process that is hindering this thing that people like to talk about as democracy. The popular vote may not necessarily translate into a delegate win. So this is where we come back to. Could Sanders really sustain this momentum that will get him over the hump mathematically? Right now, he's got 970 pledged votes and 29, just 29 of the superdelegates. These are elected officials who belong to the party and who are free to give their support to whichever candidate they choose. But he's got only 29 of them for a grand total of 999 delegates. Hillary Clinton has 1,240. And of that 1,240, 469, almost 500 of that, are superdelegates that she's expected to win. So if we were to do the math then, let's just deconstruct those numbers for the moment. First of all, it suggests that Hillary Clinton is not the gift that she thinks she is and the party thinks that she is. I mean, she is running these kinds of numbers as a person who has been in public life for all these years that she's been talking about since in Arkansas, as First Lady of Arkansas and all of the things that she has done. She was a former first lady. She has what is known as name recognition. She's been in the U.S. Senate. She has the Clinton Foundation. She's got all the money connections. She's got all of that and is still beatable. She is not really pulling in decisive numbers in terms of the popular vote. So it means that right away we should conclude that Hillary Clinton is perfectly beatable as a candidate, except what explains the fact that she is a front runner now is party politics, pure and simple, and money, the money that goes with that. Bernie Sanders has run in almost textbook case, a populist campaign. Like he said, he's getting an average of $27 a pop from 6 million donors. That's how his campaign is being funded. But he is getting some pretty impressive wins as a person who just, a total underdog, just got into the race, really. And coming out of nowhere is able to pull these kinds of numbers against a Hillary Clinton. It means that there is room there. There always has been room. But the Democratic Party machine has blocked people for all kinds of reasons, but has blocked people from emerging as credible candidates in this race. And they have decided, just the same way that she got the U.S. Senate seat, it was arranged. She got it. It was arranged for her to be Secretary of State. She got that. These were gifts to Hillary Clinton. But we come back to the central question here. Now we see that Bernie Sanders himself is talking about he's got momentum and he's waging this political revolution. But it is seeming more and more to be a devolution. He is going back to the party. He is going to hand this over to the party. And he is going to get away with this, it seems, because I don't see the pressure mounting on Bernie Sanders to make real plain what he intends to do and to make real plain what the consequence could be and certainly would be if he does the predictable, which is to turn all of this over back to the Democratic Party that he should be fighting. He's not making noises like he is upset with the Democratic Party. He's a creature of the Democratic Party. He is talking as a Democrat with a little difference here and a little difference there. But he is talking as a Democrat. And in as much as he is generating all of this energy, all of these votes, all of this movement, all of this momentum, that's his word, in as much as he's generating all of this, we ought to ask, what are you going to do with it? What are you committed to doing with these votes, other than turning them to the Democratic Party? My guess is that the people who are voting for Bernie Sanders. The people who are voting for Sanders don't want to vote for the standard issue Democratic Party. They have something else in mind. They're listening to his message. And his message, in so many ways, is at variance with Hillary Clinton's message. And she is the establishment party. Now, we better learn from Bernie real soon what he's going to do. And we ought to let him know as well that depending on what he does, the people should cut short his political ascendancy. Cut it short right now and save ourselves a lot of pain. Save ourselves from the repeat of the Jesse Jackson and Barack Obama betrayal. We can't have it a third time. I ask you, 888-874-4888, did you get any sense that Bernie Sanders is actually going to take on the party? I hate to at this point point to Donald Trump as an example. Is Bernie Sanders up to taking on the Democratic Party the way Donald Trump is taking on the Republican Party over this issue of the delegate vote, the super delegates, and why it is that he should be winning and losing at the same time? This is crazy. Do you see Bernie Sanders breaking from the Democratic Party? Do you see Bernie Sanders harnessing the energy of the moment and saying right now, because you can't say it after the primaries, you have to have a, you know, it should be know what the cudgel or fallback position is going to be. If it should be that you do not become the winner after the primary season, you should be telling people right now what your plan is going to be. But he's not saying it other than, I must correct myself here in a little bit, he has said that if it's not him, if he doesn't win the nomination, he will back the candidate, whoever the nominee is. Now, is he still holding to that position? And if he is, people better make some serious moves. The sellout will begin shortly, if it hasn't already begun. Sanders can't be allowed to get away with anything. He just can't. He has to commit to one thing or the other, something that is in line with his professed ideological leaning. And it can't possibly be the standard issue Democratic Party. And if it is, we ought to know now. But it ought to be forced. This issue has to be forced. We've got to know from Bernie Sanders what you're going to do. And based on his response, people should make an immediate decision. In fact, I from what he's indicating, I think people should start making that decision now. Be prepared to cut Bernie loose and say, hey, we can't go down this road a third time. We can't go down that road. 888-874-4888. David, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the same thing that I thought months ago that I told you. But first I have to ask how you are.
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for asking.
What I said months ago was he's going to toe the party line because he has too much to lose for himself anyway if he just goes against the party.
What does he have to lose?
Well, his status in the Senate, for one thing. His committees, and he'll be a pariah if he goes against the party.
Well, I mean, supposedly, he's only technically affiliated with the Democratic Party,
yeah,
but he says he's a Democratic Socialist.
He's supposed to be independent.
So what would you advise? If you were a strategist, what would you say, well, not just to him, a strategist to us, the people, as a strategist, I'm putting you in that position now, what should we be preparing to do right now?
Go against the party. Not what Trump's going to do, of course, even though he should, because of the delegate situation. Isn't it funny that Trump is going to sue the Republicans?
Party and do nothing, just absent ourselves from the whole process? What do you think?
I would think that would be the thing to do, but he's not going to do that. He's too in with the Democratic Party. He caucuses with them.
Well, yes, because he says, look, I've made at least one step at a time. I've belonged to the Democratic Party, but I'm not of the Democratic Party. I caucus with them because it's in my interest and the interest of my constituency to do that, as opposed to caucusing with the Republicans. So for him, he's saying this is a strategic move on my part to get things done. There's no other Democratic Socialist at this time in the U.S. Senate or in the Congress.
Oh, I still say it's a game, and he's a part of it.
Okay, thank you for getting us started today. Patricia from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice, and
good afternoon
to the PRN family.
Thank you.
Something interesting happened yesterday. Well, let me just backtrack. As you know, my mantra has always been that I was finished with Hillary. I was done. And I was only going to vote for Bernie just to put a nail in her coffin. Well, seems that I may not need to do that, because I think we began to hear yesterday from Hillary Clinton's own operatives what Bernie Sanders intends to do. So what do I mean by that? I listened to the Reverend Sharpton show on Sunday mornings because I'm a glutton for punishment. And yesterday, you know, he keeps saying that he has not made up his mind, but we know he's a closet Hillary supporter. So yesterday on his program, the listeners were calling in from all over the country and really bashing Hillary in a way that I have not heard previously on his show, and really doing a pretty good job. So he finally got annoyed and irritated with all of these, you know, callers who were calling in talking about Bernie as Bernie is the savior. And he said, and this is a Clinton operative now, he said, look, Bernie has already said that if Clinton is the nominee, he's going to give her, his delegates. And Clinton has already said if she's the nominee, she's going to give Bernie her delegates. And so I said, oh, isn't that nice to know? The fix is already in. Well, thank you very much. So I don't need to vote for him now to stop her, because if she gets her way with the superdelegates, she's the nominee. But the point is, the fix is in, because even her operatives are now telling black folks that she is the nominee and Bernie is going to hand over his delegates to her.
Well, do you think that Bernie ought to be called on this publicly and explain himself?
Absolutely, because the message that he is giving to people is that he is different from Hillary. Well, if he's going to hand over his delegates, then maybe he's not so different after all.
Do you think that there's probably some kind of a very sophisticated maneuver coming down the pike from Bernie, that he sees something or will do something that we don't expect, and there's some big complicated strategy afoot?
Yeah, the only thing I can see him doing at this particular point is pulling a Trump, and that's not his nature. That's not his psychological makeup. He's not going to challenge her on the superdelegates. And that's the only move that he would have left, is to challenge her on the superdelegates. I don't think he'll do that.
Why do you think that?
Because his loyalty above all else is to the party.
Well, this raises a really interesting point. So then, if his loyalty really is to the Democratic Party, then Bernie Sanders has been running a game.
Yeah. He's been conning people.
But you don't sense that he's really sincere about what it is he wants to do, or the things that he's talking about,
that
he's sincere about them, and therefore so convinced that this is the way it ought to go that he would actually break from the Democratic Party, break the mold, even his own mold?
Utrice, I believe that he is sincere. I believe he believes what he's saying. I believe deeply that he's an honest individual. However, when the chips fall, when you got to make a choice, he's going to stay home. He's going to stay home. Home being the Democratic Party.
Right. He's going to stick with the party.
He's going to stick with the party.
What will happen to these votes, you think?
Well, Clinton's operative already told us what's going to happen. He's going to hand them over like a gift to Hillary.
Well, that's the delegate vote, but the popular vote. What's going to happen with all those
votes? Now that is the conundrum, because people will now have to ask themselves, who are they? Who are they? Are they really Bernie? Are they really different from the Democratic Party? Did they really believe in the message? Who are they? That's something that every person who has been following and voting for Bernie will have to ask themselves. and only time will tell who they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Patricia, for your contribution today. Jay from New York, you're on the air. What are your thoughts on the subject?
Good afternoon, Patrice. How are you? And I would just like to say it's quite interesting on what Bernie will do with the popular vote. Because
let me ask you, Jay, just a minute. Are you on speakerphone? I'm getting an echo.
Hold on one second. Oh, I'm off. Okay. In regards to the popular vote, the popular vote will not, I think, go with Bernie if he tried to pass them off to Hillary Clinton. Because of the simple fact, most people that are supporting Bernie have a great deal of issues with Hillary Clinton. And it seems like every time you turn around, there's lies and misrepresentation in regards to Mrs. Clinton that comes into play constantly. I'll give you a perfect example. I think it was Friday or Saturday on CNN. It was Saturday on CNN. One of their so-called political pundits, I think his name from South Carolina, Bakari Settlers, made a comment in regards to Hillary Clinton giving her support and backing to Barack Obama and getting nothing in return for it, which is an absolute lie, because I know, and I think you know, and most of our audience knows, that Obama, in order to get her support, paid off her debt and gave her the position as Secretary of State. And things like that are not being challenged. And a lot of people, I think, are seeing how you have all of these people basically trying to give this nomination to Hillary Clinton. For what reason, I don't know. And it seems like Bernie is basically playing the game out of a sense of loyalty for his 30-some years and being in office. Now, you always talk about Jesse Jackson and what he did wrong in regards to his presidential run in taking those voters and starting a third party, or getting more leverage because of their base. The thing with Bernie Sanders is, where does Bernie Sanders go to use that type of leverage? He's not going to start a third party. He's not going to take them to the independent party, and he's not going to take them to the Green Party. So in essence, all of these people may be out in the cold, because he's not going to use them to, I think, get anything of substance or value from Hillary Clinton in return for him just willingly giving them to her, so that hopefully the Democratic Party could stay in office. So
do you think the average person, supporting Bernie Sanders today, on the basis of what he has articulated as his vision, his differences with Clinton, being by extension his differences with the party elite, do you think that the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders are prepared for the fact that this is the way it might just go if he does not clinch the nomination, that it would be okay with them, that he would turn their votes over to the Democratic Party and over to Hillary Clinton?
To be honest with you, I don't even think they're thinking on that terms, because most of them, honestly, are probably not that sophisticated and aren't listening to people like yourself. They just will be
sophisticated.
So
they're very sophisticated.
Huh?
They're very sophisticated, I think, because they have distinguished, at least, or determined that Bernie Sanders is singing an entirely different tune from Hillary Clinton.
And on that basis
are supporting him. But are we clear? Is the public clear, the people supporting Sanders clear, that this is a real possibility, that their votes for him may just end up with Sister Hillary?
But that's where I'm saying they're not that sophisticated to see it being used in an end game to benefit them. They just feel, okay, we've given our best effort forward to put Bernie in a position to win. Now that Bernie can't win, okay, now I'm obligated to support Hillary, those that don't understand it totally. So you would say, out of the percentage of people, I believe, that are supported Bernie when it's all said and done, I would say 70% of them would bite the bullet and support Hillary Clinton because of the fear that's associated with Trump and the Republican Party. But as far as sophistication, I don't think it's on the level that you assume that it is, because if it would, it would be more pressure even today on Bernie to just act and behave in a certain fashion. I mean, you could see how he behaved yesterday on some of the television shows. He wasn't strong and forceful in regards to, no, I'm not going to do this. It's always in the back of everybody's mind that's looking at Bernie is, he's not saying it, but I think they know that he's going to support the Democratic Party and Hillary 100% and just basically give his delegates and give his people, if he can, to Hillary. That's what I feel.
Thank you so much for your contribution today. Thank you. From Lawrence, New York, Chris, what are you thinking about this question?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, Ms. Lee. Hello,
how are you doing, Chris? It's your trees.
Oh, hey, you trees. Let me ask a question. So, if I'm hearing this correctly, you can win the popular vote, but if you don't get the delegates, you can lose the nomination.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the delegates, because I am kind of new to following this in any serious way. Now, let me ask another question. The delegates, are they appointed? Are they elected?
Well, there are what are known as pledged delegates. Those are delegates who are party people, and they go with the territory when a candidate wins a particular state. They are part of the mix. Remember, first of all, this is not a general election yet. This is just the individual parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, conducting its business, conducting its ritual of selecting a standard bearer who will go into the general election. So they're holding party elections, if you will.
And my concern with Bernie, and with now, when I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, so you have those regular delegates, but the key factor here that is turning out to be very, very, very important is a group of people known as super delegates, and they're more so in the Democratic Party than they are in the Republican Party. These are actual elected officials who automatically have super delegate status, and they're not committed. Say, for example, when a candidate wins, the regular delegates are the people who are counted in the mix, right? But the super delegates have options. They may or may not commit to a candidate, but their votes ultimately, because there are so many, their votes ultimately are a key factor in how the party votes for the candidate. So whereas, I just rattled off, for example, today, Sanders has 970 regular delegates or pledged delegates.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton has 1,240 delegates.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if you were just doing the math on the basis of delegates, just the regular basis of that, Sanders could be said to be within striking distance of Hillary Clinton on the basis of the popular vote, okay? However, when you factor in the superdelegates and they're leaning heavily toward Clinton at this time, and she has quite a few in her pocket, that 1,240 delegates that she has because of the wins that she has racked up so far, that portion of delegates now swells from 1,240 to 1,709.
Awesome.
So that means that she has an extraordinary advantage over Sanders because of the superdelegates.
And has Bernie Sanders lost in a state where he had the popular vote and then lost the delegate vote? Has that happened where he won the popular and lost the delegate vote?
Yes. I believe that happened in New Hampshire.
Did he at that point use that opportunity to call out the delegates for not representing their constituents, or did he just kind of take it like a loss?
Because he's not voicing, as Donald Trump is, he's not voicing much discontent with the superdelegate process. In fact, in the clip I just played, he said he's hoping that they would see the merit of supporting him in the clip we just played.
So technically, he's going along with the system that undermines the popular vote.
You could make that argument, I think, quite fairly.
Okay. And also, let me ask another question. I mean, I think that alone, if people could just take a moment to think it through, is a very loud statement that he is not in complete opposition to any system that would undermine a vote. And also, where does Bernie Sanders stand? He says he voted against the war, but I'm hearing, I don't have any proof of this, but I'm hearing that he votes for every single dollar we spend in military spending, but he's opposed to the war. Can you do those things at the same time and have it actually mean something? I'm against the war, but I'll spend more money on troops and missiles and guns. And also, where does he stand on the amount of money that we spend in Israel? I know he didn't go to, I think they call it APEC, but has he voiced any concern over the amount of money while we close schools and hospitals in America that we're spending money in other countries militarily? Has he addressed this in any way?
Not that I know, but I think broadly he has talked about the need to revisit how the United States achieves what he calls this inequality. He has put it in the context of that, and he's talked at length about that. But the question being asked today is, assuming that a number of people, millions of people would have voted at the conclusion of this primary process, would have voted for the candidates, assuming that they identify with Bernie Sanders as representing something different from the standard issue establishment candidate Hillary Clinton, and they're supporting him this way, he's racked up quite a few wins, and I have said before, and I repeat it, this is an impressive run by any standard. He is waging a very impressive campaign. He even when he is losing, considering where he came from considering how his candidacy began, and it's so much like Jesse Jackson's campaigns in 1984 and 1988, although Jackson lost, he won, in my view, because he put the idea, the concept of an independent movement on the map and performed quite impressively. You know, Jesse Jackson, by 1988, had gotten in excess of 11 million votes. That's very serious clout. That should have spawned, that's my thesis, it should have spawned the formation of a national party that could have sustained candidacies at every single level all over the country. I see a direct parallel here with Sanders. But the question is, with this level of intense support that he's getting from several different sectors who identify with what he's saying, does he not have an obligation to make it clear as to what it is he's going to do? And should people be prepared that to go elsewhere if it turns out that Bernie Sanders is, in fact, going to be a Democratic loyalist?
I would lean more towards him being a Democratic loyalist, and I stick with my suspicion. And based on what you just told me, that I would think it's safe to assume that Hillary is there to get delegates. Sanders is there to talk a good talk and make sure that no one who could actually get the popular vote, no new representation, has any room to squeeze in. They seem like they're both teamed up just to prevent something new from happening. And, I mean, it seems like one's winning one vote, one's winning the other. And that means there's no room at this point in time that I can see for someone else with some actual new affiliation, with some new ideas, to actually come in. I mean, yeah, his talk sounds nice, but I can't see it outside of a conspiracy to just actually prevent an actual real use of this energy we're talking about. I think he's there to actually redirect it, to prevent it from falling into the right hands. I think that's why he's there. That's what I think Bernie Sanders is.
Wow. Thank you, Chris. Thanks for joining us today. Lee, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm calling from New York, and something very interesting happened. And that is, the Daily News yesterday made absolutely no mention of Bernie's wins at all. Period. I say, you have an option. You can write in the candidate of your choice. Write in the candidate of your choice. Win, lose, or draw. He should be using the votes that he have as leverage. And he's not asking for anything, as far as I know, thus far. And if he's asked for nothing, he'll get nothing. He gets nothing, we get nothing. Beginning and end of story.
All right. What should he be asking for?
Well, for one thing, why do we have delegates and superdelegates? Why do we have that? Is there any other country on the face of the earth that has it? And why can't it be done away with?
I don't know. This is
if another country
party,
was doing
remember,
this,
don't forget, this
what
is a
would
Democratic
we be
party
saying?
Taking care of its business.
What would we be saying if another country was doing this? It's supposed to be one man, one vote. Delegates be gone, super and otherwise, as well as that bloody electoral college. It's madness. Where is democracy?
What would you have?
Whoever wins, we lose. We've got nothing to lose.
Thanks. That's my feeling. So why is it that people aren't calling Bernie out on this? Why is it that there's a hesitancy about demanding to know what he's going to do with these votes?
I have no idea. I have no idea why they're not calling him out, except that they too are on the take.
Do you think
you demand that he does what he's supposed to do? He has so much ammunition that he has not used if he truly wanted to win.
If Bernie Sanders
decided
to...
If you want to win, you use everything at your disposal. And he's not doing that. He's tiptoeing through the meadow.
If Bernie Sanders decided to flex his muscle, the clout, the leverage, as you refer to it, what could he do?
Well, for one thing, he could demand that if he loses the nomination, that Hillary make a commitment to have the Department of Justice go in and investigate several police forces in the United States, for one, New York, California, and a few other major areas. Do a real investigation and prosecute. If he just does that, that would be significant.
And why is it that you think that there is this the silence. I mean, the people who are supporting Bernie Sanders are quite vocal that they really despise business as usual politics. They identify with the things that he's talking about, this revolution in politics that he's been talking about. They identify strongly with it. Why are they not talking about this issue, wanting to know specifically what the plan is come June?
You know, I have no idea why they're not being more demanding, but I do feel that Bernie's in a position now to go for broke. Let's see if he has any balls. Go for broke.
Thanks, Lee, for your call today. Thank you so much for participating. Well, I think so. I think the idea is that this is a time to press him. He's got to answer some questions. And I believe that he's already been given way too much slack. And perhaps because people identify with what he says and want, you know, they want to give the guy a break. It's a tough job he's got. He's trying to go up against a very deeply entrenched party, and he has these new ideas, and he's got a spit and chewing gum kind of operation, and he's the new kid on the block. All these things I appreciate. However, he's in the game. And he is saying these are the things that he's committed to. He's committed to a number of progressive ideas. Okay. At the same time, he can't possibly be allowed to take us down that primrose path where people's ideals are, you know, spoken to, and he gets the support on the basis of articulating those ideals and ideas. And then the inevitable occurs, and we are right back to square one, where the currency that is so valuable now, these votes, will be frittered away, and we will have to go right back to square one. It seems to me that this is the time to get to break that cycle too. You've got to get the things said, and you got to get them said in public. And you have to make, if I know it sounds harsh, but if it is that it's going to be inevitable that Sanders will basically devolve all of this back to the Democratic Party, which people do not want to be part of, and to a Hillary Clinton that they definitely don't want to be a part of, if it's going to devolve back to these two entities, then you might as well get it over with now and stop it. And by doing so, you change course and you change bad habits of self-annihilating to get your political self in gear for a whole different way of operating. We do have the leverage. There is leverage there, and it's in the form of votes. And certainly, I think the people who have supported Bernie Sanders are entitled to demand that he not go down that primrose path, that he would do something with these votes, and that they themselves become active in constructing a parallel system that will survive this election cycle. Because we've seen it before, you know, it happened with Jesse in 84, 88. It happened with Barack Obama in 2008, 2012. All of this energy is not supposed to be about one person getting into the White House, because we see that we are talking about systems, a system that is scientifically designed to resist popular input and change. So the best thing to do is to plot a parallel course and use the leverage that is alive and well now, and build around it now. Begin using it to build new systems that respond to the real needs of people in a more effective way. Thanks so much for joining me today. Stay tuned. Keep it right here on PRN.FM. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. I love hearing from you, and I'm doing my best to get current with my correspondence. But it's wonderful hearing. I got a lot on my plate to respond to, but I'm chipping away at it, and I'm doing quite well in that regard. Thank you always for your kind thoughts and your prayers. It's really deeply appreciated. A pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. See each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.